Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Yud Zayin, 2:17, and in some Mishnayos it's 2:12. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi, the third of the five students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, said his three things, and they were, first of all, Yi mamon chavercha chav valecha kishalach, let your friend's money be as dear to you as your own, v'hasken atzmecha lilmod Torah, and prepare yourself or rectify yourself to learn Torah, she'ena Yerushalach, because it isn't an inheritance to you, v'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim, and all your acts should be for the sake of heaven. Now, this is Rabbi Yossi, who is described his virtue, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, was that he was a chassid. He was a chassid, he went above and beyond the letter of the law. And therefore, it's worth speaking out here, I find quite interesting, that while essentially all of Pirkei Avos is about ethical teachings and not really non-halachic teachings, if you will, and you would think of all the people, Rabbi Yossi, the chassid, his stuff would be the most lifnim mishur sadin, above and beyond the letter of the law. Nevertheless, it turns out that these three things happen to essentially all be codified one or another in the halacha. So these actually, unlike much of the rest of Pirkei Avos, actually are mandates which have halachic weight to them. They are, first of all, Yimamun chavercha chavalecha kishalach, let your friend's money be as dear to you as your own. So he doesn't say, interestingly, he doesn't say chashuv. It shouldn't be as important to you as your own money, but chaviv. And chaviv means something like, you know, having a special place in your heart. So the point is, your friend's money should be dear to you, and you should feel a sense of responsibility and like personal responsibility for your friend's money. You know, we've all had the experience, I've had the experience, you know, I have a child, doesn't want to spend money on themselves because they don't feel comfortable spending the money. But if I say, oh, use my credit card, all of a sudden, they're happy to buy not one, but two. So that's what the Mishnah is saying not to do. And I forget your parents, certainly your chaver, your friends, all the more so. Now, the Rambam brings this, although it seems, if you learn chavivus as opposed to chashivus, if you learn it's like a dearness in your heart as opposed to just an importance, taking it of equal weight, then maybe that would be lifnim mishur, so they didn't be on the letter of the law. But the Rambam passes the halacha, that in fact, as a basic extension of the Torah requirement of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, to love your fellow as you love yourself, so he extends it also in the Hilchos Deos to be also being concerned for his property, his mamon, and that's therefore me'ikar hadin, that you have to sort of not waste your friend's money as you wouldn't waste your own, and the like, and the Mishnah Berurah says similarly. So this really is lahalacha, and a person has to be really wary that he shouldn't waste his you know, when he's been authorized to act as someone else's agent who has the credit card in his hand, to not waste or overspend and the like. You have to look for, you know, savings just like you would for yourself. Second of all, he says, V'haskin atzamcha lilmod Torah she'ena Yerushalach. You have to prepare yourself or rectify yourself, fix yourself to be able to learn Torah, because it's not your Yerusha. Now, right away, it's worth speaking out that the Torah does call the Torah itself as a morasha, which means maybe a heritage, but certainly related to Yerusha. So the Ruach Chaim, Ruach Chaim Volozhiner, he asks essentially as a kasha, saying, wait a second, the Torah is the inheritance of the Jewish people. So he answers first and foremost, he says that while it is a morasha to Kilas Yaakov, to the collective Jewish community, we are the heirs to the Torah, it's our Torah, but each individual has sort of earned his right to be required. It's not a Yerusha for each individual. He further asks, sort of, kind of interesting, I don't know if interesting, just worth speaking out here. There's a Gemara above Metziah in Pehei. It says that once you have three generations of Talmid Chacham in the family, so then the Torah kind of belongs to that family and always kind of returns to Tzachsania, turns to sort of comfortable, you know, comfortable lodgings. So he quotes, Ruach Chaim quotes Rav Zalman of Volozhin, says when he was 6 years old, Rav Zalman asked Akasha, he says, wait a second, we have three generations of the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, so now every Jew essentially is the heir of the Torah and it's going to always come back to them and they have nothing to worry about. So he answers, Ruach Chaim Volozhin answers, he says it's true that the Torah will come back to its, you know, comfortable place, comfortable lodgings, the Chsanya, but obviously if it gets a very unwarm welcome, if it's chased away, so the guests will leave. So too, the Torah won't stay. Just because it's, you know, it's part of your Yerusha doesn't mean you're going to get to keep it. It's not going to come automatically back to, from a hostile environment. A different approach, which I liked really very much, of Irving Bunim in Ethics from Sinai. So he learns it kind of differently. The same question about the Morasha, but he says, you know, the Gemara Pesachim in Mem Tes, some base famous Gemara, says don't read it as Morasha, as a heritage. You know, the word, just I should speak out just parenthetically for a second. The word Morasha is used twice in the Torah. Once in the context of the Torah itself, and once in the context of Eretz Yisrael. And the difference between a Yerusha, an inheritance, and a Morasha, a heritage, says Rav Mordechai Willig, is that a Morasha is something which you receive in order to pass on. You get it, but it's your responsibility to keep it going to the future. You're just a custodian for it, as opposed to Yerusha, which is yours to do whatever you want. You can squander your Yerusha if you want to, but you can't squander your Morasha. So Eretz Yisrael has to be, you know, we're custodians, but we have to take care of it and make sure the next generation can have, you know, the characters we planted, so to speak, and they invest in it, so it should become bigger and better and a good place for them. And similarly, the Torah, we're custodians, but make sure we pass it on to the next generation. That's what a Morasha is. So here of Irving Bunim asked the question, he asked the question again, if it's a Morasha, so why does the Mishnah say it's not a Yerusha? So he says, a great idea. He says that when the Gemara there in Pesachim Mentes says, Alter ki Morasha ela Mo'orasa, don't read it as an heritage Morasha, but rather a Mo'orasa, like your like betrothed wife. So that usually is taken in a different direction. But here he says, listen, just because you're, you know, once you're betrothed, once you're married through the Erisin, so then it's true that, like, now it's yours, you're married, you're stuck together, but that incurs a whole new world of responsibilities. By getting married, you're committing to honor and invest in and give time to your wife. So the point is, even though, yes, Klal Yisrael and the Torah are necessarily intertwined and connected, but that connection is alter kri morasha. I don't think it's just as yours to keep and no responsibilities. Rather, it's morasha, now it's like your wife, and you have to therefore invest time and interest and money and kavod into this as one has to a wife. So I like that very, very much. And that's the hasken atzmecha, what you therefore be, you know, make yourself appropriate to be married to the Torah, just as a person has to think about before he gets married, make himself a good husband, so he can be appropriate for his good wife. So too. I like that very much. Now, as far as the first part of it, which is hasken, what does it mean to fix yourself, repair yourself to learn Torah? So the basic pshat, like the Rabbeinu Yonah and others, is that essentially you have to get rid of bad midos that would interfere with your Talmud Torah. So you have to, you know, train yourself to be a good repository of the Torah. And specifically, you have to make sure that you're not too drawn after gashmi things, which will distract you from, you know, your ability to focus the time and effort on Talmud Torah. And the second thing is actually, I think, to train yourself to be able to sort of have, you know, what they call zitzfleisch, to sit and learn. It doesn't come automatically. It's not so simple. A person, you know, I hear these stories of yesteryear, and the Rav would give these shiurim for like hours and hours and hours on end. It's hard for me to imagine most people today sitting and listening to a 3-hour shiur. Just it's hard for me to imagine such a thing. I myself couldn't do it, for sure. But the point is that a person has to, it doesn't come naturally that you can sit down even for an hour and focus. You gotta work on it slowly, slowly, and stick to it to make yourself the kind of person who, you know, has an interest in a cheshek and a tshuka and a for Torah, which will make you then, you know, invest more into it and remember it better and can be more committed to it and learn it in a way that, you know, makes it meaningful and stick and transformative. The other approach, this is already a different whole madriga and beyond my madriga, but the Ruach Chaim speaks how the Torah, being the supernal transcendent thing that it is, doesn't belong in a sullied kli, one that's sullied by chet, by sin. So a person before he learns Torah should essentially do tshuva, so the Torah doesn't have to rest in a sinful vessel, and that's haskin atzmecha, to do tshuva, to fix yourself, to be a receptacle for the Torah. Maybe that is beyond where I am now, but there's certainly something to aspire towards, to relate to the Torah in such a way that it's a machayev, it pushes us to want to be better people, so that we are the repositories of Hashem and His Word, in a fitting way. The third part of the Mishnah says, "V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim," and all your actions should be for the sake of heaven. So here, the Shulchan Aruch paskens the halacha And actually, it even references our Mishnah explicitly. So I think the best way to explain this Mishnah, given that it's just the halachic nature ultimately, I'm going to just read you some of the Shulchan Aruch, the Or HaChaim directly. So this is all coming from Simon Reish Lamed Aleph, 231. And that Simon is actually called Shakol Kavanasav Yu L'Shem Shemaim. All of your intentions should be for the sake of heaven, and it's in one, just one sif. It's a very big sif. So I'm not going to read you the whole thing. The context is, because we're going through your day, as Or HaChaim does, so he says, Im Iev Shalo Lilmod Belo Shnas Tzaharayim Yishan. If you can't make it through the day without a nap, so then go ahead and take a nap. That's okay. But he goes on to say, so I'm going to skip some words. He says, V'chem b'chol mashiyene ba'olam hazeh. All that you draw benefit from in this world, lo yechavan la'naso ele la'avoda sabori yisbarach. You shouldn't have intention to la'naso, to get benefit from it, to enjoy it per se. Rather, la'avoda sabori yisbarach. You should do it for the sake of serving Hashem, which means, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy this world. It just means that your motivation for partaking of this world should not be for the sake of enjoyment as an end in itself, right? You're a fool not to enjoy it once you're eating it because it tastes good. But the reason why you're doing it, you're eating it, you're taking a nap, etc., should be so that you can be able to serve Hashem. And that's what he says here. Kedichsev, as the pasuk says, Bechol derachah da'ehu. In all your ways, know him. And that pasuk, really, okay, so that's the pasuk for Mishlei in Perek Gimel, is brought down in Maseches Brachos, Samach Gimel at the end there, near the end, as sort of Bar Kapara says, this sort of sums up what Yiddishkeit is about. That everything in life is that way, that you're, the way you should approach all of your life is B'chol D'Rachel De'eu, that everything should be a chance to get to know Hashem better and forge a relationship with Him. The Rambam Nishmar Prakim similarly underscores this as like the orientation a person should have towards his life in general and all that he does. Here in Or HaChaim, he says, V'amru Chachamim, the rabbi said, Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemaim, all your acts should be for the sake of heaven. Here at Or HaChaim, directly quoting our Mishnah here in Avos. And he explains, Shefil devarim shel rishus, even things that are, you know, permitted, kagon ha'achila v'ashtiyah v'ashtiyah, Halicha, va'yeshiva, va'kima, va'tashmish, va'sicha, v'chol tzarche gufcha, all the things that a person does that his body needs, eating, drinking, walking around, the like, all those things, that's fine. Yuchulam la'avodas boracha, they all should be for the sake of serving your Creator. Oladavra hagorim la'avodaso, or for something which is like a prerequisite, a necessary, you know, step towards being able to enable you to serve Hashem. Shefilu hayat samei v'ra'ev, even if you're thirsty, or you're hungry, im achal v'shasa l'hanaso, eino m'shubach. If you're eating and drinking for the sake of the enjoyment, per se, eino m'shubach. That's not praiseworthy. He's not saying it's forbidden. It's understandable. That's where, you know, most people are at. But it's not really where you want to be. It's not praiseworthy. Eli yischaven, sheyochal v'yishte kefi chiyuso, la'avod es boro. You should intend to eat and drink whatever you need for you to, like, you know, maintain your vitality, that's fine. But for the sake of la'avod es boro, the reason you're eating and drinking is so that you can serve your Creator. And once you're eating and drinking, so you'd be foolish not to enjoy it. Go ahead and enjoy it, because Hashem put it there for you to enjoy. But that's not what's motivating you to do it. I'm skipping some words. It says, v'chem b'shchiva, same goes for sleeping. V'chem b'tashmis, give me more words. When you're with your wife, v'chem b'sicha, also when you're chatting away. All these things, it's mutter, you could do it, but you should really do it for the sake of Avodas Hashem. Then he ends with this. Klalo Shadavar, this is the governing principle. Chayav Adam Lasum Einav Velibo, a person should direct his eyes and his heart, Al Durachav, on what he's doing, on his activities. Velishko Kol Ma'asav B'ma'azne Sichlo, and he should weigh all of his actions on the scale of his intellect, of his mind. If he ascertains, when he considers what he's going to do, this will be helpful in his service of Hashem, he should do it. And if he doesn't think it's really beneficial towards, you know, the goal of serving Hashem, he shouldn't do it. And someone who has this kind of mental orientation will be in constant service of Hashem 24/7. Okay, so that's the Shulchan Aruch, Pasul Halacha, and I certainly can't explain that Mishnah this part of the Mishnah any better than that.